Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Can't believe he stole our phones. He actually thought we would fall for that.
I don't know. It's not like you haven't tried to steal my boyfriend before.
I was drinking. And regardless, I know that was a huge mistake. But it was like over a year ago.
So what? That makes it okay?
The shit you pulled after wasn't.
Oh, yeah. Here it comes. Little Miss Perfect Larissa.
You attacked me at school.
You attacked me at prom.
You broke into my house. You put me in the hospital.
I came to you and I tried to make things right. You attacked me again.
No, you...
Here we go.
You started this whole thing.
I did. Because the first time we ever met, you accused me of stealing your mom's wallet. And even after you learned that it wasn't me, you never apologized. I was already the new kid with no friends. And then as soon as I connected with someone, you had to come in and ruin that.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Oh, come on.
I was jealous and distrustful, and I made a really shitty call, and I should have apologized long before now.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, too. Things went too far, and if I'm being honest, it was my fault. I can't believe what I did to your arm.
It's not that bad, actually. It's pretty much faded. A lot like this thing between us, right?
I really am sorry.
Me too.
No. Could this night get any worse?
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And this is Cobra Kai Cast.
This week we're covering Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 3, titled Sleeper.
Why was it titled Sleeper? Because it was a sleeper? No, I don't...
Nobody was sleeping.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you guys that. I have no idea.
Oh. Crap, I go to you guys for that. I don't know. I was confused too. I can't figure it out.
You can't sleep through these episodes. They're too exciting.
I have no idea why it was called that. But maybe we'll figure it out as we podcast.
Yeah, it's something to do with the Cobra Kai.
If only we could hear the listeners screaming at us right now.
Yeah, yeah. They're probably yelling at us.
The correct right and true answer, right? Mm-hmm.
So which one of you wants to read the synopsis? Rich, you want to read it?
Okay, in this episode, here's a quick synopsis. Kreese takes control of the Kim Dojo training, focusing on the delinquent Kwan and molding him. That night, after some prodding by Kreese to use his anger for a purpose, Kwan defeats Yoon, the dojo's top student, in a fight and rips off the King Cobra badge as a personal souvenir, affirming his role as the leader. At the Miyagi house, Daniel, Chosen, and Amanda discover a chest hidden under the floor. Upon opening the chest, they discover Mr. Miyagi co-owned a boxing gym and reportedly fled the country to China after he was wanted for assault and robbery in 1947. After noticing the friendship between Sam and Tori making them weak in their training, Johnny invites them to Devon's home for a slumber party. Despite Johnny's plan failing, Sam and Tori suddenly get into an argument before they apologize to each other for their wrongdoings. The next day, the Miyagi-Do Dojo learns that the Seikai Taikai will be hosted in Barcelona and that only 6 fighters will be allowed to represent each dojo.
Who do you think the fighters are going to be?
Oh, God. Well, it's got to be Tori and Sam.
Yeah.
And probably Devon now that she's in it, too.
I mean, yeah. We got Tori, Sam, Robbie, Miguel. That's four. And yeah. Hawk. That's five. So maybe Devin. That would make it three girls, three guys.
Definitely not Mitch.
It'd be funny if it was six other guys. Turns out to be six other guys.
Different people than like our main cast, and they were left behind in LA.
That would be go down as the point where this series took a turn for the worst. Wrong turn. But Kenny, I mean, he was the one that I was kind of wondering, but I don't think he's going to go because we have three girls and guys that seems like would you'd want to see Hawk in there, but who knows? Maybe Kenny will be in there.
Yeah. Well, are they going to take backups too? You don't go to a tournament without a backup.
I think you're right, but I think what they're trying to drive home is when they go off, it's only going to be six people in the story, you know? That's what it seemed like to me. But maybe you're right. Maybe they will bring alternates.
That'll be the last minute surprise. We're all going.
So what did you guys think of this one? Remo, what did you think of this one?
I liked it. I think we had, you know, the whole thing between Tori and Sam, I really liked. I liked the introduction to the new villain, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But I thought it had a lot more action, which I know doesn't always have to be there, but it's always fun when it is.
It has to be there.
And we got some hijinks. Yeah, I mean, it is a karate show. But, you know, I'm okay when there's like minimal, if there's other, you know, things that keep the story going and are interesting. So mm-hmm. I liked it. I definitely appreciated it. It's weird to think that this is episode three and all of these sections are in chunks of five. So technically we're like halfway over with like this first part, which seems very weird.
If we'd been doing two at a time, we would be done with number four and just have one left.
I know. It's so weird.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I liked it too. It feels, I don't know, for me, it feels like the first episode so far has been my favorite. Just the reintroduction of everyone and seeing the old family back together again. And then the other two are just slightly below that, but on like level ground with another, you know?
Yeah.
We're plateauing, building up the story and so on.
Yeah. It's different. It's a different enough story that it feels same but different, you know?
Yeah, and then, you know, like Rima said, the Tori and Sam thing and the Cobra Kai thing, but then the Miyagi thing, I was like, whoa, that's what makes this series so cool. So throw these little tiny things like that in there, and you're just like,
that's totally different than anything and totally unexpected. What? At first I was like, oh, don't mess with Miyagi's legacy. But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, yeah, this is interesting. What are they doing here? Where are they going to go with this?
It's cool. Right. It's funny, too, because what was it? Last episode, I think you talked about legacy. It was the last episode or the episode before that. You had a pretty good spiel about legacy. And I'm like, dang, nailed it.
I took an edible and watched this. And the next day I was like, Miyagi, like rob someone or something?
It can't be true.
And all I remember. And there was some asshole in Korea. That's all I remember.
Yeah.
But I liked it. It was a build up episode. It introduced this cool mystery. It had some heart as always and some funny Johnny stuff. So pretty good.
Yeah.
Can I go first this time? Sure. Guess mine?
Of course.
Okay. Number one, Sam and Tori. So Tori and Sam are getting along, but in the practice ring, they're hesitant with each other. And when they got in the practice ring, I thought, oh, yeah, this is like a really fraught circumstance with them because maybe they've been joking around and getting along. But now when you go into this space, you're reminded of their worst moments together, you know, in the tournament, but also at the high school, and just that they're bitter enemies. So it would bring that all that stuff up. But I think the main reason why they, I mean, it's obvious, I'm not going to say anything mind-blowing here, but that they couldn't really play full out is because they need to fully clear the air between them. And then they can trust each other enough to play full out, cut loose, and fully give themselves over to it. And I just think that's a thing like Cobra Kai. You dismiss it like, oh, yeah, great. It's comedy. It's fun. It's cute. But this is shows, in my opinion, a real understanding of how people are. You know, sometimes... Yeah. When you're working with somebody in any situation, if there's resentments between you or something that you haven't cleared the air, then you're not going to be able to work together as well as if you play full out and as if you get it all cleared out. And especially something like this where you want to be performing at your peak, you know, like you don't have to go around to your day job and just confess every feeling. But if you're going to be in a situation like this with somebody where you need to have peak performance, then you really want to make sure you're okay with each other, that you trust each other. And then
absolutely.
And what I loved is Johnny thinks they're not training well because they've made up and lost that fire of conflict. So he makes it his goal to get them pissed off at each other again. And if he had succeeded, then yes, maybe they would have fought with more fire. That's kind of what Kreese is doing in Korea. But what ended up happening was better because instead of power coming from hate and turmoil, it comes from clarity, trust, focus. But I won't even talk about the Johnny stuff because that's really funny, but we'll save it for later. But I just loved one scene in particular. Tori and Sam, when they finally start arguing about their past, that Sam kissed Tori's boyfriend Miguel and Tori attacks Sam and on and on. Johnny's like, "It's happening. Here we go." And Sam says, "You started this whole thing." Tori says, "I did, because the first time we ever met, you accused me of stealing your mom's wallet. And even after you learned that it wasn't me, you never apologized. I was already the new kid with no friends. And then as soon as I connected with someone, you had to come in and ruin that." And Sam said, "You're right. I'm sorry." And Johnny's like, "Ugh." And Sam says, "I was jealous and distrustful. I made a really shitty call and I should apologize long before now." And then Tori, of course, that's what happens sometimes when you give in a little, then the other person feels like they can soften too. She says, "So yeah, well, I'm sorry too. Things went too far, and if I'm being honest, it was my fault." And they're like, "I'm really sorry." "Yeah, me too." So you could tell they really meant it. And this is one of my favorite moments of the, because the younger person stories are usually not my favorite. I like the Johnny and Daniel stuff, but this is one of my favorite moments from the younger person stories. I was just really moved by it, and they gave each other this heartfelt hug, and Johnny goes, "No."
It's so funny. Right.
So this was my favorite storyline of this episode, I think.
I think they it showcased the actors too, and they can actually act. You know, I felt it right along with them. But yeah, that's exactly what you can. That's exactly, you nailed it. I feel the same way. You know, you can't be distracted by, you know, having like a fragile relationship with somebody. You got to be solid, man.
Yeah. I remember I've done things like this before where you're all working together for some end, like you and I did. We were in marching band together. Our band director was insane, pushed us super hard, and we ended up winning competitions all around the state and even the country. And there was one time when, because I was a bass drummer and I had my little drum, and the guy behind me, Eric, I forget his last name, but we kind of didn't get along, and he stole my harness right before we were ready to go out into the field. I'm like, "That's my harness. This one's not." We just got into this big argument. And fuck her, you know. I think I ended up getting it back from him, but then we march out, and I was just thinking about that the whole time. You know, I couldn't focus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyway,
there you go. I liked it too. I felt though that I don't know. It seemed like there's some stereotype going on, and it seemed pretty cliched for what it was, but yeah, I understood the full meaning of it, and I thought they pulled it off pretty good too. I mean, what else? How else are they going to solve their problems? Right? What are you going to go? Are you going to show Sam and Tori in a therapy session or something? That wouldn't be very exciting. So they get to the point, you know, and it was comedy gold too. For everything that Johnny had done and said, yeah, that was pretty funny. I was laughing out loud for sure.
And I just like, It's subtle. Like, they could have had it where they were not getting along and then they figured out a way to get along and then they were able to practice. But instead, they had it where they were actually getting along. But that wasn't enough because they really didn't address the core of what was between them. And that just feels like that distinction just feels so much smarter and more real, mm-hmm. you know.
Johnny actually summed it up best. He got frustrated and said, what do you say? I want you to hate each other, but in a friendly way.
It is Miyagi-Do, I promise.
Yeah. Well, I'm here with pillows and blankets and shit.
And chocolate, yeah. All right. Rima, so you like to go next?
Well, I'll add to what you said, because like I said at the top, this was, I think, one of my favorite parts of this episode because of the heart. And, you know, I've been rooting for Tori, you know, really wanting to kind of see where she gets to today, see that character growth. I knew like she had it in her, you know, she had so many things going against her, and it doesn't justify anything that she's done. She definitely did some really bad things, and Sam did too. But I like to where they finally had like that honest moment. And it's been this buildup for so long between those two. So it was really, really great to see that, you know, even though they were being like friendly to each other, that was like holding them back, this like resentment and just, you know, not talking about all of their issues. And like, they were going back and forth about, you know, you tried to steal my boyfriend, you accused me of stealing your mom's wallet, and, you know, the tit for tat back and forth. I really like seeing them really come together and really just unpacking all of that baggage between them and finally communicating, stop tiptoeing around all of it, and seeing that they can actually see eye to eye and really apologize. I really, really loved that apology from Sam, because she was getting ready to like say something right back. And then she's like, you're right. You know, that was awful of me, you know? And I was like, oh, good girl, Sam. And then, you know, Tori's apologizing. And it was just such a real honest moment between those two. And I didn't cry, but I did have tears in my eyes. And just it made me feel really good, you know, to see those two characters finally get to like a good place. And then in the end, when they were able to like still be friends, but like they didn't have all of that between them. So they were really able to really be sparring partners and not hold back, because I mean, you made a good point when you were saying it, Jason, they can't have that if going into this tournament, you know, they have to be able to be free and let go of whatever baggage they have going on. And it goes for like all the characters too, anything that they have. But I feel like, you know what, this is a sitcom. So I feel like eventually there's going to turn around and still be some tension between them down the road.
You wonder, because this feels like an epilogue so far where everybody's being nice to each other, and then they just get even more nice, and it's like,
yeah,
well, is this all going to be the conflict between like Johnny and Chris and this new fighter in Korea and the other fighters that they meet, and our people will just be fine through the whole thing? There's a part of me that wants that, because I don't want to see more conflict, but like we said, it's fun when there's a little, like Johnny was saying, the fun kind.
Right, the good conflict. Yeah.
And this was the last conflicting relationship to be resolved, right? So
no, Kenny and Anthony, and even Kenny and Robbie, I would say still. Yeah, Kenny used to beat the shit out of Anthony all the time.
That's true, huh?
Remember? I
mean, that was bullying at school. Pretty bad, and it the way that they were all kind of hanging out there at Miyagi-Do, and you know, just like, oh, where do we think it's going to be? I hope it's Germany, or I hope it's here. I'm like, y'all are just getting along too well. It's almost like the Sam and Tori thing. Like,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't seem earned. Yeah. Like, let's talk about it. Let's unpack it and get over it and move on.
Kenny's in there. Yeah. Throwing out like he's fitting in, but I still feel like there's unfinished business.
I agree.
With him, because they can't just leave what happened between him and Robbie, but also Anthony alone.
Anthony. Well, maybe everybody in the dojo doesn't like Anthony. That would be pretty hard to tackle.
No, he's okay now. He's fine.
I don't know. His mom doesn't.
I don't know why, but
she was blaming. I don't it want. On him.
No, that was Chosen. Oh yeah,
well, she blamed it on him. Yeah, first.
Okay, Rich, what do you got?
You know, I'm kind of interested in what's going to happen with Chosen. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, they kind of alluded over the last couple of episodes that he's been depressed or upset because I forgot her name now. What's her name back?
Kumiko
back in Okinawa wouldn't call him back. But like we discussed earlier, that could be for any reason, right? But he's just moping around, apparently drinking a bunch. And in the beginning of this episode, we got another bit of like foreshadowing from Amanda. I think this is the second or third time Amanda's complained about Chosen overstaying as well. You know, mm-hmm. oh, you came here for what? To kill somebody and now to kill Silver. And he's been staying for 3 more weeks. And then at the end.
3 months.
3 months. And then Chosen at the end was looking up flights to Okinawa. So now it's like, is he going to go back?
Yeah. And Amanda inspired him. She said, the best thing we can do is make the most of the time we have with the people we love while they're here.
Yeah.
And so then he booked a flight to Okinawa. So I think that means Kumiko's going to be in this again.
Right. Yeah. But is he coming back? That's what I want to know. He's got to come back. He's a sensei.
I'd like to see that story. I hope they don't just go have it off screen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he'll be at the tournament.
But he is starting to feel kind of like a third wheel a little bit.
I think it's funny that he's just hanging out, mooching, and in his robes and everything.
I don't know that was his robe.
Yeah, Daniel's robe. Who's the O.J. Simpson guy?
Cato.
Cato. It's like Cato.
permanent house guest. Yeah, okay. So yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen there, but it's a nice, another little surprising sidebar that piqued my interest. As per usual, these episodes always coming up with something.
Yeah,
for sure.
Probably just to help. I mean, there's so many. I said it last week. There's so much cast. Maybe it's just to get him off, for a couple of episodes, you know, and spend time with some other cast members. So everybody gets some allotted.
Give him a story
time. Yeah. Give him something to do, because he does seem you make a good point. He's kind of spinning a little bit, it feels. I mean, he's funny and I love Chosen, but it's just kind of.
But you're right. Yeah. You know, he needs a story.
Yeah.
All right. Should we go on to Miyagi's past or Kreese teaching in Korea?
Let's do Miyagi. I can't wait.
Okay. So do you think Daniel should have opened that chest?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he took too long.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you even thinking about?
I'm surprised it took him that long to find it. I'm a snoop. I would have found that a long time ago.
Chosen's like, but if you don't look, then it will be full of possibility or whatever. I'm like, yeah.
Open it.
Whatever. So inside we see boxing gloves, a coin from China, which made me wonder if he fled the country. Did he go to China and then come back or something? There's an article.
I think he went to Okinawa.
Yeah, I thought he went to Okinawa. Okay.
Why was there a Chinese coin in there? The article says police search for assailant. Police are searching for the culprit in a violent robbery and assault. Jim Watkins of Lodi was hospitalized after a severe beating, and the theft of a valuable new necklace. I didn't type this well. He identified his attacker as Kitsugi Miyagi. As the investigation into the violent robbery and assault intensified, law enforcement officials mobilized resources to track down the elusive suspect, Kitsugi Miyagi. The incident sent shockwaves through the tight-knit community of Connor, leaving residents on the edge and demanding swift justice for the brutal attack on Jim Watkins. Local authorities, and something was scribbled out, tirelessly conducting interviews, analyzing, reaching out to potential witnesses in their quest to apprehend the assailant.
Mm.
Passport shows him having been born in 1918. Daniel says, oh, the name is wrong, and he was born in 1924, not 1918, even though he was actually born in 1925, according to his gravestone that Daniel visits every week or whatever.
Jeez.
It says Nariyoshi Miyagi, June 9th, 1925 to November 15, 2011 on his gravestone. Mm-hmm. And in the letter that he wrote to Kumiko's grandmother, was it Yukie, that Daniel read in season 4, he signed it Love Nariyoshi Miyagi. So that's presumably what Daniel thought his name was.
Yeah.
But in the next Karate Kid that we just watched with Hilary Swank, in the ceremony that brought Miyagi to the East Coast, this military thing, the presenter says, "Today, the President of the United States honors us with a special unit citation. The citation will be accepted on our behalf by Sergeant Katsugi Miyagi and Miss Louisa Pierce." So they use at least a form of that name. And sometimes with foreign names, that you see them spelled slightly differently. So one says Kasugi and this said Ketsugi, but I think they probably meant the same thing. So it makes me wish that for this podcast, I would have gone back and looked at the timeline of what we know of him and how this fits in. Because Daniel said he didn't tell me the truth, but I'm like, well, he doesn't need to tell you every detail about his past, but maybe Daniel meant this conflicts with something that he told Daniel. And I'm not clear exactly what that is, if that's the case, you know?
Right.
They go to the address on the passport, which turns out to be this boxing gym, Page's gym, that's been around for 40 years, and it seems like a sketchy place. And I guess I shouldn't just rehash the plot, but basically the guy sort of corroborates the story that Miyagi was a good man, but he stole a necklace and beat someone up. And so what do you guys think all this means?
Gosh, I didn't
actually did it.
Didn't remember that part about the next Karate Kid, them using his, assuming this is his actual Southern name, yeah. Right?
Because yeah. Miyagi.
Well, in the wiki, and I don't, who knows how right this is, but it says Nariyoshi Kasugi Miyagi as if it's like a first and middle name.
Oh,
but I don't know. We don't really know.
Right. Yeah, well, I don't know. It sounds like Miyagi was a badass back in the day, huh?
A bad guy.
Badass bad guy. The gym owner's grandfather, he said, was best buds with Miyagi. And he said that his grandfather was this tough old SOB. So now it'd be kind of interesting to maybe know a little bit about more of that guy, too. Maybe they were in the war together or something. Mm-hmm. But then Miyagi's kids were, family was in an intern camp, right?
His wife when she and was they, pregnant.
Died? So they were
here. She died in childbirth.
At the internment camp.
Mm-hmm. So maybe he's a Japanese American and he was in America and then did he fight for the Americans in the war?
He did. Yeah. We already knew that. Yeah.
But then he was here.
Daniel found a letter at his place that talked about, it was informing him that his wife and child died in childbirth, and then he had a Medal of Valor, and it was all U.S. Army, I think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was
depressed. But he came from Okinawa.
Could have been depressed, maybe on the bottle or something. Got pissed off, beat somebody up.
I haven't actually looked it up as far as like the timeline, but I thought I read someone had commented that the year of the robbery was about 3 years after he had lost his wife and son. So I think there's some speculation, like there had to be like a solid reason why he did what he did, and that the necklace, again, all speculation. I don't know anything. All this to me is a mystery. I don't know what all of this means and what we'll find out.
They're presenting us with a mystery.
So, could that necklace have belonged to his family, to his wife? Something happened to it while he was in the war. It was just him trying to go, get that back, and maybe something went wrong, and he had to flee. That's kind of what I'm wondering, if it's something like that. So I don't know, but I think it was a nice tie-in though, because I remember when we covered Karate Kid 4 and hearing his name in the beginning of the movie, I was like, wait, that's. I don't think that's because, I mean, we just always say Miyagi. I never think about his first name Mr. too much, Miyagi. But I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. I don't think that's Miyagi's name. So I looked it up and found all of this, like, why did they have his name? Why was it different Karate Kid 4 instead of the Karate Kid franchise? And I was like, oh, that's right. It was. Why was that? So is this like a tie-in to 4? Or are they just trying to close that loophole there in the,
explain
in the
it.
Franchise? Yeah. I don't know.
Right. Does it mean Hilary Swank's coming because they brought up something from that happened in 4? I mean, I think.
Yeah, I thought about that.
The most likely thing is there's some good explanation for it, and that he wasn't just a total brutal person. But
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
That was a weird way of saying that. But anyway, the one thing, though, about Cobra Kai is they've made it so that everyone has flaws. It's not black and white, right?
Yeah.
And so maybe they will do that with Miyagi and have this gray area part of his character that happened where I don't think it would be that he was just totally sadistic, but maybe he fucked up, you know?
Yeah, it could be. But also you got to snicker a little bit because, you know, Daniel was beside himself moping around going, I don't know what's worse, finding out that Miyagi hurt someone, or I can't remember what else he said.
He just took it for granted that it was true.
Yeah.
Even though Miyagi's just a suspect.
But also, I mean, doesn't Miyagi like assault someone in every movie that he's been in? I mean, he goes and he beats up the other guys, right? Because they were doing bad stuff.
In self-defense. Yeah. Well, this is different. It's like breaking and entering and trying to steal
assault
something.
Battery is pretty, assault. Well, pretty bad.
It could be, yeah. It could be Jim Watkins, though, said some pretty nasty stuff or took a swing at him first. Took him down and then was like, ooh, I take your necklace as payment, you know? I don't know. It could be a thousand ways that story played out.
I love it. Well, and I wonder too.
Daniel, one last lesson. Once you defeat enemy, you claim a prize. You must claim your prize.
Well, you're bling.
Oh my gosh. Well, and I don't know if we'll get more. I feel like they can't just drop this mystery on us and not explore it a little more, or at least come to some kind of conclusion. But I feel the main point of it, and just theory, I don't know. But I wonder if it, because this being the last season, like, I feel like we're really going to have to, like, come to some closure and come full circle with our main characters, Johnny, Daniel, Kreese, all of them. And I feel like this is going to, like, somehow influence Daniel's story. It's going to, I think, something about this mystery and finding out that, as he says, that Miyagi wasn't as perfect as what he thought. I mean, he had Mr. Miyagi on this pedestal, and now that pedestal's like cracked a little. Do. Yeah. So, I mean, even Amanda was like, you know, calling him the greatest man on earth. I mean, that's, nobody's perfect. And I think that this is going to have something to do with, like, Daniel's, like, seeking balance and, you know, learning that Miyagi, you know, wasn't maybe as perfect as what he was.
Yeah.
He overcame. So I feel like it almost has more to do with Daniel, but hopefully we'll get a little bit more about the mystery, because, I mean,
yeah, I think you're really right. Curious. It's going to be something like that. But I wonder if they'll show flashbacks with somebody playing young Miyagi. I feel like they will. I feel like they might. Maybe. And also, this was in the news, but I'll mention it now, that the creators of the show have said they would like to do a prequel showing Miyagi's story.
I heard that.
And I didn't read the details because I started reading the article and I'm like, this is getting spoilery. I think they're presuming I've already seen the first five episodes, so I stopped. But the gist was that they're hoping to do that. And I don't know if it would just be a movie or like a mini series or something, but it could be interesting.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. You know, there's like this little sub-tense of a body count too. All the bad guys, all the badasses in this show have like some sort of body count that they accumulated in the war. Maybe Miyagi did too. I killed 12 people. I killed 14. You know, I did think too that it was pretty fitting, if that's the right word. It was, you know, it's pretty cool that we're getting more of Daniel and Miyagi's relationship this late. You know, I mean, he's about, I mean, it's fitting in that it's the last season, maybe the last time we see a lot of these characters in these situations. And so I thought that was pretty cool to back, start with it, end with it, you know, full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point. As long as it's a good story, I will like that they did that too. So hopefully it's a good story. Okay.
Yeah. It was really well fleshed out.
I agree. Well, then I'll jump to my next point then, which I want to talk a little bit about Quan. And it's kind of a short point, but I didn't mind the storyline over in Korea this week. So I have a lot less to complain about. But I just, Kreese, gosh, he's so bad. Like, he's so, like, looking for someone, like, as cruel, I think, is what he is, and looking for someone, like, so violent. And not just violent, but, like, someone that enjoys being violent.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what Quan is.
He's like a super villain, huh?
Yeah, but I like him for that. Like, I don't like him like Johnny and Daniel and the rest of the cast, but I think he makes a really great villain. And I think that makes it interesting. And that part I like, because he was really badass. And I thought the choreography was really on point with him and the other student when they really got into it. I thought all of that was really well done. And I tried to find more about this actor that played Quan, and I got his name, and I've seen a few of, or saw his other credits, but I'm not familiar with it. And so I was trying to see, like, he has to be like a full on martial artist. Like, it's not just like we've got like Miguel and Robbie who are actors and they've, you know, been trained for a few years to like be able to do karate. I think this guy is like a full-on like martial artist and really knows what the heck he's doing. So I really liked all the choreography. I think he's a very interesting villain. And I think that Kreese sees a little bit of Johnny in him, and sees him with, you know, the rage, how he's rebellious. He's got an arrogance, but like I was saying, I mean, and I don't think Johnny was this way, but I think Quan very much enjoys inflicting pain. And that's going to be interesting going into the tournament. And I feel like I'm really going to have to suspend my disbelief seeing these Miyagi-Do kids go against Quan.
They look so much better, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, it'll be a lot like the tournament at the end of the first Karate Kid movie where you had that one guy just flipping around and doing high kicks, and Daniel's just like doing these little blocks.
Right. Kreese's description was hilarious. That made me laugh out loud too, how he describes Johnny and Daniel from the very first movie. What do you say about Daniel? Like an insignificant, scrawny little runt or something like that.
You trained for maybe 6 weeks.
And he beat him. Why? Because he had heart. It's like,
Yeah. That was funny because, so it's Kreese's first day training these Korean intense students for the tournament, and he's just being introduced as their new teacher. Kim Dae-yoon talks him up, and then the first thing he comes out with is, yeah, my top student failed against this kid who didn't even know karate. It's like, is that really how you want to frame yourself here? But yeah, the point was he had heart, and I like that Kreese knew that. And then when he said, how do you beat a guy who has heart? And then I'm like, yeah, what's he going to say? And someone's like, more training. No, you know, you got to have heart too. And he didn't answer that. He didn't have the time to answer that. But I was so glad that he ended up answering it later in the episode. You got to be heartless.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so perfect.
The opposite, right? Yeah. You're fucker. Like, you have a heart. It doesn't feel right. And then he's like, you got to be heartless.
And that's been his storyline the whole time. He was told in the, you know, Dagobah cave that his weakness was Johnny because he cared about Johnny. That was why he's his weakness. So mm-hmm. he's like stomping all of that out. No room for heart anymore.
Yeah. Quan actually said something similar in Quan's way. He said, what? Like kick him in the ribs and rip his heart out. Kick him in the ribs, like
yeah. Yeah, and that's why, that's basically the same thing, being heartless, yeah. And Kreese right away knew, that's my boy.
Yep. But of course he had to intimidate him.
Well, he did the same thing Johnny was doing, which is interesting.
Yeah.
He's so discord among Quan and his other students, and Johnny, whether he wants to admit it or not, got that from Kreese, not from Daniel or Miyagi-Do or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that training's still in him.
Blew right in, took control, cut the head off the snake, and put a new head on it, I guess. What you got to do. Huh?
But yeah. He saw this sort of diamond in the rough, a man driven by anger and hate, and he's like, I can focus this guy, and he totally succeeded. He taught them all, draw on your hate and your anger, and you focus it, use it for the purpose of defeating your enemy here in this tournament. By the end, it was pretty cool that Quan was just like fully focused.
Yeah. I giggled out loud too when I saw all the kids and their haircuts. I'm like, well, it's pretty obvious who's the bad guy and who's the good guy just based on their haircuts, right?
Gotta have that scruffy haircut to fit that bad boy persona. Yeah.
Almost looked anime-ish.
The rebel.
Yeah, that guy was perfectly clean cut with a side part. I'm like, oh, that's the good kid.
I guess if there are good kids in that Cobra Kai Dojang there in Korea. Yeah.
Quan brought up a good point too when they were fighting, which by the way, that fight was cool. We saw some moves and stuff that we didn't see from the kids back in the valley. But he said, you know, you only know what you've been taught. You can't think for yourself. I believe that, actually. I believe that a lot. You know, I've seen a lot of kids, a lot of students who may not be the best academically, but you dump some, you know, a popsicle sticks and some string and some glue and some clay, and they can build, you know, like a standing tower or something, you know, and mm-hmm. the kids
if
who
they're
are
interested
don't even know where to start. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, different kinds of intelligence. And
sometimes it can limit you.
Yeah. I thought that was a good point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I also,
Kim Dane said my students' art students' abilities far exceed what you had in America. Our training is more intense, more precise, and more demanding. And I don't want to overgeneralize, but in my experience, Asian cultures do push their kids harder. Mm-hmm. There's less, like they will, like I went to this show when I was in China, and there was these just kids doing acrobatics and flips, and you know that they spent grueling hours training on that stuff, you know? So they're more hardcore about things.
Don't they have like synchronized walking? I've seen one of those.
Probably.
They just walk like in perfect synchronization all around the gymnasium floor, and they get points for doing different turns and skips and jumps and stuff. It's like, whoa. Requires a lot of discipline. Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, sure. Rima, you brought up a good point too. How old were these kids? Because our kids are high schoolers, right?
These kids looked older. I don't know how old they're supposed to be, but it's hard to imagine that they're supposed to be like 16, 17 years old. Yeah. They don't look it because, yeah, our kids are in high school.
They looked a lot. They were much more physical specimens.
You know? That's good. You want them to be imposing.
Yeah, they are.
But they said the Sakai Taikai is going to be in Brazil. No.
Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Yeah.
And Spain. And he said something about because in recent years they've been performing better there, I guess. So I think there's going to be some other, not just these Korean guys, we're going to meet some other competitors.
Oh, I hope so.
That'll be super fun. Yeah.
Yeah. The international stage, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can't be the All Valley anymore. Gotta expand.
regarding that fight too in Cobra Kai, that last front flip kick that Quan did, that was cool, man.
That was awesome.
I don't think we've seen that before.
I don't think so, but I wish I could do that.
Kind of remind me of the Olympic gymnasts we've been watching on the balance beam.
Yeah.
Where they'll just do a flip without even putting their hands
down. I mean, if you do that for real on someone's head, they would be dead, I think.
Yeah.
Totally.
He looked like he was trying to kill him.
Break his spine. And then what was the, at the beginning when they walked up on, and they were all training it, and they were doing a move, said it was a move designed, yeah, a Viper something, I can't remember now, but it was designed to penetrate the most stout defense, you know? So we're already piecing together some pretty formidable opponents for the Saikai Taikai. Did I say it right?
I think it's Sakai Taikai.
Sakai Taikai. Yeah, that's hard for me to say.
Me too.
Same.
Yeah. Another part too of that sequence that I'm reminded of is when Quan gets tripped and knocked down by the other kids, you know, when they started trying to bicker amongst themselves to see who's going to be the new leader, and Kreese turns around as the kid falls. Quan falls on his face and is just like, "All right, that's enough for today. Come back tomorrow." Totally reminds me of our PE teacher.
Like, yeah. Par for the course. And then the next, or when he's beating the shit out of all the other students, Quan, and then he comes down with that kick you just mentioned, and you just see Kreese over there not even looking, smoking his cigar.
Right.
That was kind of badass.
None of the adults really said anything about that whole thing. Oh, they're just figuring it out amongst themselves.
Hey, it's the new teacher style. Let's give them a few days, see if the students all survive.
We're getting closer to Carmen and Johnny having a baby.
Yeah.
Baby, it's a gender girl. Reveal. Yeah.
Yay.
I knew it was going to be a girl.
Good or bad after this episode for Johnny.
So Johnny. Let's talk about that. It was funny to see Johnny and Daniel get this ticking box, because suddenly I felt like, again, we were in another genre of movie, like an action movie or something. They even brought up Lethal Weapon.
I say Lethal Weapon too.
Yeah. And Johnny goes, "Kreese." And Daniel's like, "Come on, you think Kreese would walk into a FedEx Kinko's with a bomb?" Johnny says, "He did let a live cobra loose in your dealership."
Oh, and Johnny, when Daniel came out, and when Daniel came out, he was totally covered in the pink stuff too. We almost see Johnny smile. Almost. He doesn't smile that often.
I think that was a deliberate callback to the spaghetti sauce at the country club. Mm. Seem like it, right?
Yeah.
Except this time Daniel can laugh at himself a little bit, so that's good. Yeah. I'm too old for this shit.
That's a Lethal Weapon line too. Good callback for when they brought that up. Yeah.
Yes. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that. Yeah, they used to say that a lot. Mm-hmm. And then my other favorite thing is Johnny says, "I'm a girl dad." And then he said to Robbie, "You're a girl brother."
Yeah.
I was happy to see him excited.
About when Johnny walks up to Daniel and Amanda and just write it right up front. "Hey, your daddy's a pussy now." What the heck? So is Tori.
"Your daughter's a pussy." Don't say that. I mean, I found it a little cringy when he kept saying girls are easy. I know he doesn't mean it that way, but it's still, the other characters seem to cringe at it too. Like, don't say that.
Yeah, Devin was like, "Don't stop saying that."
You got to learn to speak Johnny.
Or he's like, "Welcome to Miyagi-Do After Dark." I don't think you should call it that. Miyagi-Do Nights? No.
And then they went to, Johnny's plan was to have a girls' night, a slumber party, right? But then Johnny was there. I'm like, doesn't Devon's dad think it might be a little strange this middle-aged man is hanging out in his basement?
Only in other girls Cobra Kai. In a sleepover? Yeah, this would be creepy in anything else except for Cobra Kai. But yeah, it's
he must have snuck in.
That's part where we got to suspend disbelief, right?
I mean, that's what she said. Why are you here? Well, I'm a girl dad, so I can be here.
He brought cookies and tampons and everything.
Yeah. Oh, did you guys catch the reference about Ollie Mills? Ollie?
No, oh,
it was a quick reference. So.
Yes, Johnny, I can't remember what it was. What did he talk about?
Yeah, Johnny referenced Allie having sleepovers. I used to listen to Allie tell me all about
sleepovers. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That caught me off guard because I was like, dramatic. Wait a minute. Who's Allie? Is that his ex-wife? Oh, no, it's Allie.
My favorites were when he had them pillow fight and they end up giggling. And he's like, ugh. And then moving the Ouija thing around to say what he wants it to say. Devin says, Will Mitch ever win the All Valley? Johnny's like, who the hell's Mitch? Penis breath. He pushes it to no. And then if Sam could describe Tori in one word, what would that word be? B-I-T?
It might have been bitchin'.
Yeah, that's none so of that funny. Worked. Those girls were on it pretty quick, too.
Yeah. I like that they called him out on it, for sure.
Feels like they would have walked out sooner, I guess, but not.
He sends Tori a text from Miguel's phone. Hola, mamacita. How about you drop the zero and get with a hero? You're catfishing us. I don't know what that is, but catfish is gross.
Yeah. Jim Watkins was from Lodi. The guy that Miyagi beat up.
That's like, what, 45 minutes away from us?
Yeah, that's over here in our neck of woods, man. It would have been better if they said Stockton. That's a pretty rough town.
When Daniel was looking at the picture of Miyagi and said, wish you could see this, Mr. Miyagi, a whole dojo of kids learning your lessons. I thought that was really nice. That was a nice sentiment. He said it right after he told Johnny to handle whatever problems Sam and Tori were having. And Johnny proceeded to do nothing that Miyagi would ever approve of. But yeah. Still... It was a nice thought.
Don't learn Miyagi-Do overnight.
When Daniel finds this chest under the floor, and sort of reminded me of in Karate Kid when he found the letter from the army saying Miyagi's wife and child died in childbirth and found the Medal of Valor and everything, just sort of learning more about Miyagi through his things. When Amanda says, we keep things from our kids, don't we? Are we ever going to tell Sam and Anthony about Cancun? And Daniel says, definitely not. Well, what is that all about?
Yeah. Hey, what happens in Cancun stays in Cancun, right? Yeah.
It seems like a sex thing.
Jeez, it could be anything, Cancun.
And the only other note I have is that Ralph Macchio directed this episode. It's the first and probably last one he's directed.
Oh, is that right? I know that.
Yeah. I noticed that.
Has anyone else from the series directed?
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
I looked to see if William Zabka had, and he hasn't.
They did that in Star Trek. They were on for so long, and everyone started directing. You direct. You get to direct. You get to direct.
Couple things in the news. 2 weeks after premiering on Netflix, as we're recording this, Cobra Kai's in second place in TV shows. So still pretty high up in the charts.
Still doing well.
First place is called Dirty Pop, the boy band scam, about the guy who managed Backstreet Boys and NSYNC was a scam artist, large scale financial fraud or something.
Oh, is that right?
Apparently. I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah.
And then last, I already mentioned it, but there was just a news item that the Cobra Kai showrunners want to do some kind of Miyagi prequel story.
That totally makes sense. Put it in the show, Make another movie. Is the movie, is the new, this next movie with Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan, is that going to be tied into this universe at all? Do we know?
I think they've said it's all in the same universe, but they did not write towards that movie in Cobra Kai. It's a completely different group working on it. So I just hope that there's nothing that conflicts, and I hope it's good, you know?
Yeah.
But Johnny's not going to be in it as far as we know.
Right.
It sucks.
Yeah. Who are we going to laugh at?
Watch. Yeah.
Jackie Chan. All right, let's move on to some feedback. Here's a message from Steve Brown.
Hello, Cobra Kai cast. This is Steve, and this is going to be for Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 3, Sleeper.
Why does she have two babies? Why is she having twins?
Okay, so everyone's living under the LaRusso's, in the LaRusso's house, even Chosen.
A gender reveal bomb package?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Tori and Sam have lost their edge. Or secrets from the Miyagi Casa. Hey, this is creepy, Johnny, that you're having three teenage girls for a sleepover. Okay, I'm not sure I'm going to get this B story with Kreese and training these Koreans. I know I was confused with the characters last week, but who is this third girl? Drama is the story trying to create with this other name for Mr. Miyagi and his past. Johnny stole both Miguel and Robbie's phones, and he's now trying to create this drama with Sam and... I don't get it. But of course, Sam and Tori see right through it. Every time Johnny thinks the drama is back, the girls nip it. I love it. This other subplot with Miyagi's past has got to come back more. There's got to be more to it, right? Well, so there's our drama for the rest of the season, I guess, is who's the six that are going to go? Who's going to be the boy and girl captain? Yeah, okay. I'm here for it. By the way, I'm right here with you episode to episode, so I won't be watching episode 4 until I hear the podcast. Talk to you later.
Nice.
That's awesome,
Steve. We're taking a 3-week break. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
That would be awful.
He made me think of a couple things. The gender reveal bomb, it seemed like Carmen didn't know the gender until she saw the pink. Is that sometimes how these things work, where the mom somehow doesn't know?
Yeah.
Nobody's got to know.
So she, like, somebody, whoever knows, sends the bomb or whatever the...
Maybe it was grand
reveal. Yeah, like if they make a cake, they get like a note or something from the technician when they do the ultrasound and find out the gender, and they put it in an envelope, seal it, give it to, say, someone making that cake, and and then they don't know until they cut into it. So typically, cool. That's how things like that are done. So
yeah, I've never been to one.
Hearing it all laid out by Steve just made me realize, yeah, Johnny was just creepy all the way around throughout the whole episode.
That would not fly in real life.
I'd say it only flies in Cobra Kai. Otherwise, it's just like, nope, that's not right.
Okay, Peck Allen says, Danny, Chosen, and Amanda go to a sketchy boxing gym to find and chase down Keith from the Righteous Gemstones. I haven't seen that. I heard it's good. While Johnny shows how good he's going to be at parenting a girl by trying to get two teens to fight each other. What a ride this show can be.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you, Peg.
Yeah. Juan Frosto says, fun episode full of mysteries and scandals. Did Mr. Miyagi have a shady past? How much do we really know about his backstory? Not sure. Biggest mystery I want to solve is what happened in Cancun with Daniel and Amanda.
You're never going to know one. Nathan Eshelman writes, seeing the name Keisuke Miyagi as it appeared in the next Karate Kid makes me feel hopeful we're one breadcrumb closer to a Julie Pierce appearance. Oh, yeah. Maybe Daniel will be able to find answers from the student who knew Miyagi under that name. I hope that's where this trial will lead us. Maybe not in the next few episodes, but by the end of the season.
I really hope so, too, since we went to the trouble of watching and podcasting about that movie.
Better be some payoff.
All right, that is our show. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Next episode will be Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 4, Underdogs.
Oh, Underdogs. Nice. Yeah, if you want to write in or send us a voice message about it, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, please check out our other podcasts.
Yeah, another kind of throwback podcast is Still Slaying, a Buffyverse podcast that Penny and Kara are doing. They're covering most of the Buffy episodes, but not all of them, only their favorites. And they're really good. One thing they do that's really cool is whatever time period the episode was on, they'll list like what was the top movies at the time and what was going on in the news and stuff like that, you know. But they're such super fans of Buffy, and they go really in depth with all of it. So if you like that show, I highly recommend checking it out.
Yeah, Lucy would like that. That was one of her favorite shows.
Awesome.
All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
Before we go, I just want to know, what's one word that you would use to describe me?
D-I-C.
All right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.